We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Some years ago, Bavia Wagner traveled to Southeast Asia. She took part in a peace walk in Vietnam. She also visited Cambodia. The year was 1991. That was the first of many trips Wagner has made to Cambodia. She is the author of Soul Survivors. That's S-O-U-L. Survivors, Stories of Women and Children in Cambodia. The book was published in 2002. A year later, she incorporated the not-for-profit organization Friendship with Cambodia. She's also the author of a new guidebook, Responsible Travel Guide Cambodia, the publisher Wild Iris Press. Bavia Wagner grew up in Urbana, and she's back to visit her hometown, and she joins me to talk about her passion for Cambodia and the work of Friendship with Cambodia. Welcome.
Thank you.
So that first trip to Cambodia in 1991, what do you recall most vividly about it?
You know, we took a minivan from Ho Chi Minh City to Phnom Penh and spent a week in Phnom Penh, and I think the whole time we were there, I never saw a passenger car. I mean, the whole country was still so devastated by the genocide that had ended already 12 years ago, but it was still deeply impoverished. I never saw a child wearing shoes, you know, and the women in the marketplace just had these blank faces. And I realized that they were just still in a state of post-traumatic stress and shock from what they had been through.
Yeah. The genocide had ended in 1979. And so here it was 1991, and things were still very difficult.
Right.
Now, 20 years later, 2011, what's life like in Cambodia?
Well, in the cities, it's very different. In fact, you're in a traffic jam often in Phnom Penh. But for life, for the majority of the people, the rural areas where 85% of the people live, it's not much better, actually. There's 45% of the children are malnourished. Only 6% of the children finish high school.
Yeah. Now, a generation, two generations now after the end of the Khmer Rouge, why is life so difficult for Cambodia's people?
Well, one thing was that even after the genocide ended, there was another 20 years of civil war. So it wasn't until 1998 that Cambodia actually was able to start more of a process of recovering economically. And it's, you know, the genocide just shattered the fabric of society. There were only 50 doctors left. It's just been a very long, slow process of rebuilding.
Yeah. And also it bears remembering that this region of the world was torn by war for so many years.
That's right. Yeah, proceeding.
Why have you chosen to work in Cambodia?
You know, I had visited the poverty in, I mean, I'd visited Africa and seen the poverty there. I had been to Latin America, seen the poverty there. But when I was in Cambodia, it was just, you know, beyond belief in terms of not just poverty, but psychologically shattered, you know. And that's, I think, what really drew me there. And the other thing that I think keeps me working there is the realization of how little money it takes to turn people's lives around there. It is so easy to, you know, completely turn a whole family's life around. You know, $50 for a small loan for women, you know, can bring a whole family out of poverty. And, you know, try to find that kind of return elsewhere. It's just amazing.
Yeah. What does $50 do for a family?
Well, our projects with loan funds for women are really, the success is based on the social workers staying with the women for a period of maybe 4 years and giving them small loans. The women initiate their ideas and projects of how they want to increase their income. They get a small loan, start the project, pay that back, and they work within, and then they get another project. And they work within small groups, so the women support each other. That's very key. And this long-term process is also key because at the bottom of poverty is a low self-esteem. That's where people, why they're failing, why they can't pull themselves up out of this. Even if somebody gave them a house, you know, they still can't, you know, you come back a year later and they're living in a shack again. You know, they haven't overcome their psychological barriers to success. So it's really this that that helps women move ahead.
And what about the role of education?
So that's that is just like the key topic of the consciousness right now, I think, because of the books, both Three Cups of Tea and Half the Sky by Nicholas Kristof, and I highly recommend both those books because they really show how education, particularly for girls, is key to ending poverty. And it's amazing because women who are educated have fewer children, they immunize their children, they improve the nutrition, sanitation, their income's increased. They make sure their children get a good education. And the World Bank has come out and said, you know, the best investment is education for girls.
Okay. Now, you've talked a little bit about the loan aspect of things and education both within households, mm-hmm. within communities, and then within schools. Mm-hmm. So what is the work specifically of Friendship with Cambodia in regard to those two projects?
Right. So we're funding girls in school. We do have a few boys because there's always some exceptional boys who really need help. But we focus on the girls because they really help improve society, and they are so much more marginalized and have so few opportunities. So we're sponsoring girls in school. It's just $1 a day to put a girl through school for a year. Our girls are in high school, and we sort of thought that after they graduated 12th grade, they'd be going, you know, we'd be starting a new group of kids. But no, they are the brightest stars in their classes, and they all wanted to go to university. So now we're sponsoring students in university as well. And we also have this small loan program for women. These are our two. It's really, you know, in terms of ending poverty, we really want to focus on empowerment. And these two aspects of education and microcredit programs are the most empowering. And the last thing I want to say is that we do lead tours to Cambodia. So we want people to come and meet the children that they're sponsoring and to have a chance to see how these, you know, programs can really turn people's lives around.
Before coming in this afternoon, you sent me a note with some facts about girls in Cambodia. And one of the things that you said, 1 out of 10 girls is sold to a brothel.
Right.
How does that happen?
Yeah, it's shocking. Well, in Cambodia, it was very typical for girls in rural areas to go to the city to be housekeepers. And for decades, that has been going on. But what's happened now is that traffickers have realized that they can go into these rural, remote villages and tell a mother that they're going to give her daughter a job as a housekeeper and give the mother the first month's wages, and the mother lets the child go. If she wasn't so poor, she wouldn't let the child go because they want to protect the girls, you know, who are usually teenagers. And but instead she lets her go, and this, you know, person takes the girl to the brothel and sells her, and that's how it happens.
And what's being done to put an end to this?
Yeah, it's really a terrible issue worldwide. It's not just Cambodia, but in Cambodia, what Friendship with Cambodia is funding our organization. One is educational campaigns nationwide through radio. You know, the majority of the people are illiterate, or especially in the rural areas. And then one thing we're sponsoring is a dance troupe that travels to these remote villages. You know, everybody hears there's going to be this cultural performance. The whole village shows up. And in the, you know, intermission, they give a little skit about sex trafficking.
Yeah.
So everybody gets an educational.
Now an important word.
Yeah, exactly.
So now you've written a new guide to traveling in Cambodia, and the title is Responsible Travel Guide Cambodia. Cambodia is a very popular destination. What does it mean to travel responsibly, and in particular, travel responsibly in Cambodia?
Right. So you you know, a lot of us taking vacations in these developing countries go realizing that we're spending, you know, enormous amount of money and, you know, where half the population is malnourished. I mean, it's, you know, how can you in your conscience, you know, really feel great about that sometimes? So there's a way that you can spend your tourist dollars that actually help people. And one is being careful about which hotels you choose. Because you can choose hotels that are training programs for disadvantaged youth. You can choose restaurants that are also training programs for former street children. You can shop in fair trade shops that are working to help, you know, rehabilitate landmine survivors, trafficked girls, families with AIDS. So that's what our book allows you to do, is to choose those hotels, restaurants, and shops. And, you know, if you want to volunteer in Cambodia, there's options for that, too. And it's the information is really goes beyond Cambodia, because you could do that for any country. It's really, it takes, you know, more research, of course, but you know, really thinking about how you can minimize the negative impact and increase the positive impact as you vacation.
Mm-hmm. Bhavya, thank you very much for coming in today.
Yeah, thank you. And I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity to share Friendship with Cambodia.
Bhavya Wagner, she's founder and director of Friendship with Cambodia. You'll find a link to the website for Friendship with Cambodia at our website, will.illinois.edu.